the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Well, thank you for joining me on Three-Dimensional Wealth. I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf, and today I'm here with Carl Bareither. And we're going to be talking about his book and some of the methods he used. And so it's about business, family business renewal. And it's a holistic approach to wealth transfer planning. And let me give you a little background about Carl. Carl is the founder and president of FBR Systems, which is a fee-based family business planning firm. It uses holistic process approach to transfer wealth and renew both business and family. And Carl has developed tools that enable him to move beyond tax, legal, and financial planning. We're going to talk about those later. He holds degrees in business and communication from Northern State University, South Dakota. He's graduated from Purdue University's estate planning program, has earned his Chartered Life Underwriter designation, and he served as a training director and regional sales director for a major financial service company. So you've got a lot of experience, and I think you said over 50 years, Carl. So I want to welcome you to Three-Dimensional Wealth.
Thank you very much. Enjoy being here.
Well, good. Now, it's interesting. I've read your book, and it's called Planning a Family and Business Legacy. And one of the things I noticed, of course, you're on Three-Dimensional Wealth, and we look at wealth in a whole different perspective. And I noticed you did, too. You had a much broader definition of wealth. So maybe you can fill us in on how you see wealth in the way you've developed your practice.
Thank you, Roy, for the opportunity to give you some background of who I am and what the FBR system is.
Good.
The Family Business Renewal System, that's what FBR stands for, is an opportunity for families who are truly interested in transferring their wealth. And I suppose the definition of wealth will vary from person to person. About half of my career, I defined wealth as property. And it wasn't until the last 25 years now that I really acknowledge that wealth certainly is property, but it also includes enhanced family relationships and communication. And one of the questions I've asked myself is, why is it that wealth is important as it is in all families, regardless of the size and the amount of wealth? Why is wealth frequently perceived as being something secretive, something that we shouldn't talk about? And I know that's a generalization, but that's in my experience. Have you found that similarly true in your practice?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, when we looked at it, now, when you say 25 years, Carl, let me just go back. You've got to be the pioneer in what I call sort of total wealth planning, going outside of just financial. Because we've been at it maybe a half a dozen years, and so we're the neophytes. But what you just pinpointed was the point that families that are, there's so much more in the relationships that we need to be dealing with that in order to really counsel them well, and that if only we look at one aspect of their wealth, their financial wealth, we've done more harm than good. And so in reading your book, I mean, I felt like, you know, you were sort of preaching to the choir, and I don't, you know, I had never read your materials, Carl, before the last few weeks. And yet somehow I came to the same conclusions that you did years ago. And but you came to it, I think, and in your book you gave a very personal story about, I guess, your daughter.
Yes. We have three children, two sons and a daughter. And I grew up in a family that really acknowledged the real importance of work. And I guess you would call me a work-addicted person.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, the youngest of our three children, and I had a conversation, she must have been 22, 23 years of age, and she was suffering from bipolar illness. And I have tried to identify for my daughter the importance of work. And her illness precluded her from really taking on any type of work. And I remember the last time I visited with Carla, you know, I said, Carla, it's really important to be engaged in something that you really feel passionate about. And whether it's an avocation or a vocation, it's really important. And she said, Dad, that may be true. But she said, you know, there are such things as acknowledging that it is just as important to be able to smell the flowers as it is to grow the flowers. That was our last conversation before I received a telephone call saying that my daughter had committed suicide.
Mm.
Now, we have a child that dies by her own hand. I asked the question, you know, like normally a person would, why me? Why my daughter? And it didn't take me long to identify that the reality was that what can I do about what happened? I mean, what happened, happened. And there's obviously some kind of guilt related to that. But I said, what could I do to assist myself in acknowledging that her death wasn't in vain? And what I learned to do was to take Carla, when I do these educational workshops and seminars, and remind families how important and how precious it is to have an open sense of communication. My daughter told Lillian, my wife and I, how important it was, in her opinion, for us to have family counseling. And I said, I'm all for that, Carla. If you can convince your two brothers, her two older brothers, that they would agree to that, that I would agree, Lillian and I would agree to that type of family counseling session. Knowing full well at some deep level that she would never be able, as the youngest child, convince her two brothers to have that kind of dialogue. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging the importance of open communication and acknowledging that there are many people out there whose communication levels within families are not open. They are closed for whatever reason. The marriage of their child gone awry, or whatever the case may be, that there seems to be a shutdown in communication amongst many family members. So I took this situation I had with my daughter and tried to identify what do families really want, rather than what do individual owners want. What do families want, and is there a correlation between what the family wants in terms of the family wealth, mm-hmm, and what does the principal want? And if there is a difference of opinion, that ought to be acknowledged. And when you look at the statistics, or I know you're familiar with these statistics, your audience may not be, but only 30% of the businesses get beyond the first generation, and only 15% get beyond the second generation, and 4% of the family businesses get beyond the fourth generation. And I'm asking myself, with people spending so much time building up their own businesses, why is it that those statistics are what they are? And the answer that I came to had a lot less to do with having the technical competence, but more to do with what does the principal need, what does the family need, and is there some way that they can discuss this in an intelligent, loving, caring way, rather than a judgmental, secretive manner.
The opening line of your book, Carl, in the preface, and this is the first line, it says, in my work with family businesses, I engage the entire family, not just the business owner as a client. Now, when you take that approach and you start to look through a different lens, you get a whole different answer.
Absolutely.
And I think that was part of the thing that I came to the realization after 30-something years, that I was actually part of the problem, not part of the solution. I was going through the things I was taught. I was doing the things and creating the tools and dealing with the owners and the, you know, the entrepreneurs. And yet, you know, having been in the family business, you know, a lot of my father's or grandfather's clients, we saw the torch being passed, and as generations were dying, the plans that we put together didn't quite, you know, the same kind of statistics. And I kept questioning. I said, what's the problem? And you pinpointed it. And what you've said is that the family is the client, not the individual, is what we've adopted. But that was your opening line. I thought that's probably the most profound change that an advisor, in fact, that a family can, if they understand that they need to address this as a family. Now, if I can learn from your daughter's situation and your family situation and listen and say, wait a second, I don't want to go through the same thing that Carl's family went through. Let me go through this and pick up from that. That's where I'll thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Rory. I think, you know who I have to thank for making this shift after being in the business for 25 years? I have to go to my clients. It's interesting that, you know, we put ourselves as advisors to assist our clients how to become more effective at whatever we're providing, whatever service or product we're providing. And in this case, what I did is I hired a firm to do a survey amongst 200 of our clients in 7 Western states. And that survey revealed to me that although our services were really valuable, but what we needed to acknowledge is that the service needs to be directed to the entire family. Well, with a degree in communication, I thought, well, this certainly shouldn't be difficult for me to do. So I brought the entire family together. And up until this time, I'm not proud to say this to you but and your audience, but up until this time, if you owned the family business, I only cared about what you needed and wanted.
I know exactly what you're saying, yeah.
And my sense is that many attorneys, many accountants, many insurance, many financial advisors, business advisors, they perceive their client as the principal, end of story. But that's just the beginning of the story. The end of the story is try to capture what the individual family members need and want and what the family wants. Well, my experience has been a total failure to acknowledge what each family member wanted in this family on this family meeting. They didn't know me, and I didn't know them. So, I guess
you write in here, and then we'll take a break. You wrote in your book, you said, and what's needed is a procedure that renews both the family and the business.
Precisely.
A model that protects all the important assets of the family, personal, business, and non-business. Well, that sounds like three-dimensional wealth to me. We're going to take a short break, Carl. Audience, stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com. or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roy Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled Family Business Renewal, a holistic approach to wealth transfer planning. And to do that, I've got Carl Either with me, correct?
Right.
And we were just talking about the break, about a survey that you conducted with your clients of about 250 clients. And tell us about now how it ended up, because I think there was an interesting result.
Well, what I attempted to do is to try to identify what all the family members needed and wanted, and that's why I brought them all into one room. And it was just a total failure, because so many of these issues they had with their parents and grandparents were so personal and so private, and they didn't know me, and I didn't know them. And to make a long story very, very short, I soon discovered that what I needed to do is I needed to have a meeting with each of the family members, adult family members, and their spouses as a confidential meeting so that I could identify whether or not the current plan that they now have, that the principal had, really meets both the needs of the principal as well as the family members. And I know some of your audience are saying, well, in the final analysis, it's the principal that should make the decision. And I totally agree. I just think that the principals should have some sense of understanding of what the family needs and wants so that they could make a more informed decision about their planning process.
Hmm. Now, what you've just described is the first step in this three-stage or three-phase process of family business renewal. And so maybe what you can do is just go back and highlight the three phases, and then we'll go back to this, the first step that you talked about.
Yeah. Well, the first phase is gathering the data. And the data includes that belongs to the principal and that which belongs to the family members. And then from that data, identify and determine the family objectives and then analyze the current plan. That's phase one. Phase two is taking that information and identifying the alternative transfer options that the family members may have to consider, seek the advisor's input, all the trusted advisor's input, and then develop a new written plan that really focuses on what both the family and the principal needs and wants based on the information that the other advisors have provided. So it's a collaborative effort. So that's phase two. And then phase three is to actually present the new wealth transfer plan at a family retreat, consider the financial and liquidity options, and then implement and monitor the new action plan. And that's phase three.
Now, let me just say something, Carl. What you've just outlined, that's going to take a lot of time.
Absolutely, it takes time. But if people spend a lifetime, sometimes two or three generations, to create that wealth, and then acknowledge that that wealth is not going to be transferred in the manner in which they want, based on the statistics we just talked about prior to the break, is that a small price or is that a large price to pay? It seems to me it's a relatively small price to pay if you're truly interested in transferring your wealth. And if your wealth includes both property as well as quality family relationships, then I think it's a really small price to pay.
How long would a project like this take that you do?
Well, it depends a lot on how many family members there are, you know, the complexity of the family, to some extent, how successful the family has been in terms of the wealth. How many businesses are there? Is there more than one business?
Mm-hmm.
What is the tone of their objectives? What is they want to accomplish? And I would say anywhere from 3 months to a year. I just finished a case last year. It took an entire year. But, you know, the assets were substantial, and they had so many various kinds of businesses mm-hmm. that it took that kind of effort. But in keeping with what it is they wanted to achieve, and that is make sure that the stakeholders had a opportunity to have a positive response to one another, where there was so much distrust that the trusting relationship that came about as a result of this process was well worth the time and the effort.
When I read your bio in the beginning, it talks about you being a fee-based family business planning firm. I mean,
it takes a lot of time. I mean, this is, can you do this as a commission kind of driven salesperson?
I guess some people think that you can. I attempted to do that initially back in the first time I charged a fee was in 1969. I was in. I was visiting with a Wyoming cattle rancher, and it was describing the services that we were offering. And this is the first time I charge a fee for my services. Everything else was driven by commissions.
Mm-hmm.
And I described him the process that we were going through, and at that time we weren't involving the entire family, but it was a pretty comprehensive process. And he said, "Well, Carl, tell me, how much is this going to cost me?" And I said, $500. He looked at me. And he said, "Do you think I just fell off a load of hay? You can't do this work for that kind of money." So the question of credibility and trust is really an important question to be raised. And if the only way that a person is going to be compensated is if they're wanting to sell a product, even though that product may be necessary, the qualifications and the level of trust that one establishes just isn't there. And therefore, I not only decided that I needed to charge fees, but the fees had to be reasonable and not unreasonably low, as in many cases that happens to be the case. Obviously, you can charge too much. So our fees are always predicated on the basis of how complex is the issue, what are the objectives, how many business entities are there, and how many family members are there, and then we come up with a fee for each of the three phases that we just discussed.
All right, so that first phase when we talked about examining the current plan, I said let's interview all the individual family members.
And the spouses,
okay.
Yeah.
And then you said let's identify the family objectives. So you're doing that on an individual basis across the board for all of them, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm listening to. So if you have a father who says, "I want to keep this business intact," and when you really have this one-on-one confidential meeting with their children, and they tell you, "Look, we don't want to keep this business intact," or say one of them wants to keep it intact, but four of them don't, and the family wants to treat everyone equally, you know, what are the chances of that really happening?
Right.
And quite frankly, some of these businesses shouldn't remain intact, quite frankly. But others can or could if they have the right kind of understanding before the fact rather than after their demise. So from my point of view, estate planning and succession planning is something that should have a beginning now, not at death.
Right.
And it shouldn't have an end at death either. It should just be a continuation. And that's what I mean when I say process as opposed to transaction.
That third stage you have there was analyze the existing plans. How often, Carl, do you see the existing plan actually meet the objectives that the families have identified?
Hardly ever.
Okay.
Hardly ever because, you know.
I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah, the principal, as you well know, Roy, the principal knows what he or she wants. And sometimes, quite frankly, there's a difference of opinion within the principal. And sometimes if you have two brothers or two sisters owning a business, their families have difference of opinion. So it's not just a matter of what the principal wants. If the principal really wants to listen and hear what the family, most family members will not tell the principal what they need and want. And it frequently takes a disinterested third party to ask the important questions and become an active listener rather than an active storyteller.
The thing that I've found, you know, I say strategic planning is knowing where you're going before you get going. And for us, the same thing. The time that it takes for us to get the baseline and read the, you know, the EKG, if you will, and get the blood work and do all the other things before we have any kind of diagnosis or before we have, any prescription for the diagnosis, it takes a long time. And what I find is that sometimes families are, they want something to happen. You know, it's like you plant the seed, and the roots are going down into the soil, and they're saying, "I don't see anything growing." And you say, it's growing, trust me, but I don't see anything. And then finally it comes out and it starts to sprout. But I've found that in talking with clients, they want sort of immediate results, and yet if you're really going to do the job of being a good listener and getting that information, as you say, it takes the longer process. And again, we're out at a year on our projects.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things you have to really acknowledge, too, is that most families deal with transactions. Their attorney and their accountant and many of their insurance and financial and wealth advisors are transaction-oriented. So they really want to deal with the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the transaction is important. I'm not denying that. What I'm suggesting that is before you get to the transaction, you have to begin with an architect to try to figure out what it is that the family needs and wants, and what are the differences of opinion, rather than waiting until they read it in the will or a business continuation agreement. Why isn't it important to have that kind of dialogue during life rather than having that dialogue after death? And so many of the advisors, quite frankly, are only perceiving the principal as the client,
right,
never the entire family. So how can you have family harmony if you don't include the family until the reading of the will or the trust? It just seems to me that it's so barbaric, in a sense, that you need to move from this transaction orientation to a process. And I think most advisors don't know how to do that. And therefore, clients, for the most part, don't get the benefit of that unless they're talking to people like you and myself.
Well, it's a reengineering of the way advisors have been trained and the way they've done business. And until you are in that mindset, you go back. And most of the time that, you know, people say, well, you know, this is what XYZ firm does, and this is what, you know, they're always in the same rut. It's the same way that they've done business, and they go back and it's analyze our investments or,
yeah,
you know, those kinds of things, or relook at, yeah, the wills. And yet the second phase that you talk about is developing new plans. It's those other alternatives that you need time to really think about and understand how we're going to map to the goals. Because if you're out there drifting and you're putting together your own plans, and that's what I found. I think we did that ourselves. We were putting together plans that we thought the owner of the firm wanted to have accomplished. And when we got done, it wasn't what the family wanted and wasn't best for the family.
Exactly.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about phase two and phase three of the family business renewal. And so stay tuned with more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
We now return to Three Dimensional Wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516 516- 888-759-3900. Now the host of Three Dimensional Wealth, Roe Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Carl Bareither, and we're discussing his book, which is entitled Planning a Family and Business Legacy, and also his process, which he's put together, which is his family business renewal. And as part of that, Carl, we've talked about sort of there are three phases to that, examining your current plan. Phase two is developing a new plan, and then part three is compiling the new plan or putting it together. Let's go back and just touch on this phase two, examining the alternatives. One of the things that makes you unique is that in your book you talk about family values. And so what's so important about integrating that into this whole process?
Yeah, that's really an excellent question. And my experience has been that the generation I grew up was that I was to be seen and not heard. And I find that there's generation gaps between grandparents and grandchildren and between parents and their children. And I think if you don't identify what those gaps are, what are those differences, it does present some real problems. And I'd like to just sort of cite some examples that might be useful. These are all, unfortunately, true stories. I had a very successful family business owner who had two sons and a daughter. And the daughter was planning to get married, and the parents were very, very devoted to a particular religion. And the daughter's fiancé happened to be of a very different religious persuasion. And the father looked to him like he was going to have some real serious problems with this. And he finally told his daughter that if she continued to see this her fiancé, that he would disown her. And guess what?
He did.
He did. And I said, what a tragedy. This. I knew I had met this daughter, and I knew her fiancé. And it was something like, you know, the entrepreneur said, you know, this is the way it is. I own this business. You were brought up in this religion, and I really resent the fact that you're considering a different religion. And I just wanted to know, when we talk about defining wealth, and although this is a very successful family business owner, his two children wound up with this business, and she wound up with none of it. But can you imagine what happened to their relationships between the father, the mother, and the daughter and her brothers? It just seems to me that there's something wrong, there's something missing when we spend so much of our time and energy creating wealth, and there's no room for allowing other people to have different values. And frequently these children brought up in a different kind of a family that now had wealth, and so it's no small wonder that they're doing something different. I had a very wealthy dairyman tell me years ago, when we got into this stage, and he said to me, you know, what can you do to help me help my son learn humility? Mm-hmm. What does humility have to do with wealth? And in this case, his father came to this country with nothing and built up a multi-million-dollar business, in this case, a dairy business. And his son, who was very, very active in the dairy industry, did very, very well. But he grew up with the finest education, the nicest cars, where his dad didn't have the benefit of any of that coming from Holland to this country. And yet he was asking me, how can he help his son acknowledge the importance of humility? Because it had an impact on the wealth of the business when you constantly retread these employees. Mm-hmm. So here's a person that seemingly had everything but didn't have humility. And the whole issue of in-laws becoming outlaws is an issue that frequently families are really concerned about, because we have all these blended families that we all know about. 50% of the marriages end up in divorce. I can think of this one family that the mother told me that she could tell how things went out on the dairy that particular day by how often her husband turned over in bed. She had two son-in-laws that were engaged in the family business. The business was large enough where they really didn't meet with each other. One was involved in the farming aspect and one was involved in the dairy aspect. And they really didn't have a chance, or they chose not to visit with each other for the last 8 years. And so they would always go, they did the triangle thing. They always would go to their father-in-law. And can you imagine the kind of emotional impact it would have on him recognizing that? And when we went to the family retreat, in this case, it was appeared to me that both of those sons-in-laws, it indicated that they wanted their own smaller dairy, not a large dairy, a smaller dairy. And one of the dairies went, he created a dairy in another state, and the other son created a small dairy right next to his father's dairy. And it turned out that his father found a non-family member as a manager, and they've traveled all over the world because it's freed up his emotional time and his physical time so that he could be doing these things that he couldn't have done when he was trying to straighten out the relationship between his two sons-in-law.
It's fascinating, Carl, when you said that this client had come to you and said, well, you know, how do I transfer humility? I mean, that to me is, you know, he's looking for a wealth transfer specialist, not assets. And that's one of the things that you've done is you've put together curriculum to help advisors become wealth transfer specialists. It had nothing to do with money, but it's, you know, how do you help somebody pass on the values of humility? I think that's wonderful. It says a lot about you as an advisor.
But it says a lot about the principal, too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
He recognized that although he was successful in many ways, he was unable to effectively create this sense of humility that he had, but his son never had.
Can I redirect you? I want to talk about that family retreat. Because when we
yes.
get to the point where we're now in sort of phase three, I guess, and we're presenting the plan that you've
yes.
you know, come from here to there, but now probably the most difficult aspect is this family retreat.
Yeah. So now the report has been written. I have met with all of the advisors before the report is written to find out what it is they like and what it is they don't like about the current plan. I advise them what I've learned from the family. And we talk about the egos of the family that need to be satisfied. We also need to deal with the egos of the advisors. And so rather than bringing the advisors in after the fact, collaborating and getting them engaged in the process before is really instrumental before we ever have a retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes some of the advisors will come to the retreat or parts of the retreat. But before we get into the report, the retreat is always held at a place that is not related to the owner's residence or the family business. It's always some neutral place, some lodge or hotel. And the first thing that happens in the retreat is that I ask them three questions. And the first question is, what are your expectations for this meeting? The second question is, what do you admire most about your family? And the third question is, what changes would you like to see occur with your family and or business? Now, you might ask the question reasonably, why would you take the time to ask them those questions when you already know the answers to those questions? What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the family members to tell each other
mm-hmm.
what it is that they expect from this business of this meeting, what it is that they admire about their family, because so oftentimes people only talk about what they don't like, and so we're always talking about the negatives and never the positives. And then lastly, talk about what changes, not mistakes, but what changes would they like to see. And I write those down on a board, and they're pasted throughout the room. So at the conclusion of the retreat, we go back to see if those needs have been satisfied as it relates to the report itself. And sometimes the responses to those three questions, depending on how many family members, I've seen it take a half a day, an entire day, to really sort out what it is they expect, what it is they admire, and what it is they'd like to see changed. And if the report has any value at all, it really needs to deal with what it is they want changed and find out ways to accomplish that feat.
Now, let me ask you, in all of your experience, all the years, Can you bypass this step?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And yet, I'll bet if I went down through a list of our clients, you can count them on one hand, that really have done a job. And, you know, it's that, again, retraining. So,
yeah. Well, my experience has been that when you do this retreat and you go in there and you ask these people, and for the first time, oftentimes, after we've gone through these three questions, we tell them, these are what the assets are. This is what the will says. This is what the trust says. Why do we have to wait until I die before my children know what my trust or my will says?
Mm-hmm.
If there's going to be an unhappiness, why can't we establish why it is the way it is and see if there's a way that we can build upon that so that it adds value to our family relationships? Why does that have to be secretive?
We had one where the family had left at their death, were leaving money to charity. And in fact, I'm convinced that had this communication process been done prior to death, because at the end, after the death, the children were all a bit ticked off. They said, I can't believe they gave our money away, and yet what it was is the values of the family. And had they taken the time to go on back and say, listen, let us tell you why we're doing what we're doing. These are the values that we'd like to perpetuate through this charity. And there was plenty that came through for the rest of the family. Had they done the homework and not skipped the step that you just talked about, the result would have been completely different. And yet I see people wanting to either, they think they have enough time, and yet time runs out quickly, you know, and they pass away before they get this completed, or they don't see the value, right? And so they downplay it. And what we really need to do is be good communicators on how good communication is important. So we're going to take a final break, and we'll be back. But I want to talk about the use of a facilitator and celebration in these family retreats and some of the benefits of the overall use of family business renewal. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with more Three-Dimensional Wealth.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Going nowhere as a financial professional? Enroll today at the American College. The American College is the nation's oldest and largest distance learning institution devoted to financial services education. Research has shown that graduates of the American College's Chartered Life Underwriter and Chartered Financial Consultant programs average 20% higher production income than their peers without professional designations. For more information, visit theamericancollege.edu. That's theamericancollege.edu, the education you need to succeed.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analyst, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com. or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roy Diefendorf.
I'm here with Carl Bareither, and he is the pioneer of total wealth management. And the concepts that we've been using for just a half a dozen years, he's been using for a quarter of a century. And so to have you here today, Carl, has just been great because you've honed the process, and you've been living it a long time. And I want to talk about, because I know that you have a communication background, and oftentimes people who are sort of salesy think that it's easy to be a facilitator in a family meeting. What do you think? You still with me, Carl?
Yeah. Okay. Say it again, please.
I was just saying that oftentimes people think that it's easy. Salespeople, advisors, think it's easy to be a facilitator in a family meeting, and yet how easy is that to be a good communicator?
That's not been my experience. It's the most difficult part of that entire process.
Okay.
To be perceived as an objective person for all family members. I'm thinking about one family up in Boise, Idaho. There were 31 family members that included the spouses of three generations. And to be a facilitator and make sure that in order to be a good facilitator, you have to be a very active listener.
Mm-hmm.
And all too often, people have a hard time being active listeners. They want to tell the people rather than hear what the people need and want. And I think one of the benefits of this retreat, I list three benefits. You effectively can minimize the Internal Revenue Service's role in the family's affairs.
Mm.
You can enhance the family communication and therefore have greater quality family relationships. And thirdly, you can maximize the business profitability. If people are talking to one another in a civil manner, no matter how many commas and how many zeros you have, you're going to enhance the profitability of that business. So it seems to me that it's a win-win-win situation. So I think one of the questions that has to be answered is, what is it? So why does this process? Why is it so difficult to find people interested in this process? When you think about the principle, when you think about what are the characteristics of a person who has established substantial wealth, generally speaking, you'll see that control, power, and autocrat, and secrecy, and the head of the ego are all important attributes to creating wealth. And I don't think anybody would deny that rarely works well if you have those ingredients. Unfortunately, the preservation, the transfer of that wealth requires very different kinds of ideas and thoughts and values, including, instead of secrecy, a sense of openness, instead of control, sharing, instead of power, knowledge, instead of being autocratic, be collaborative. Instead of the head and ego trip, you have a heart and spirit trip.
But what you're talking about is radical change.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that it's so easy to come down on the principles, and the principles learned oftentimes from their parents, why it was so important to be all these things in order to create wealth. But not many of us have learned how to transfer that wealth successfully onto others. And these principles are oftentimes not going to learn that from their attorney, their accountant, their trust officer, their insurance or financial or wealth manager, because they themselves don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So where are they going to get that kind of advice?
Well, I would say that one from a wealth transfer specialist for the work that we're doing, I would say a certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner. I mean, those are very similar approaches to how to do it.
Yep.
So we'll give a plug for ourselves. How's that?
Well, I think you need to, because there are not many of you out there that are doing that.
I know. During the break, though, you had a phrase, and I thought it was great. You were talking about facilitators, but you said, we're only responsible for the process, not the results.
Yeah.
And that is a profound statement, because so often people involved, the advisors involved, in that situation, they want the results, and yet as a facilitator, the process dictates the results.
Absolutely, and that's such an important part. I wish I could have learned that in 1969, because it's so valid, because people know when people are being manipulated and they have a focus on what it is they want the end result to be. And if the family doesn't want that end result, then that's not the end result they should have. Mm-hmm. And I guess the conclusion that I've reached from my years of experience is these 12 principles of the family business renewal model. And if this is an appropriate place and time, I'd just like to repeat them, if I may.
Go through it right now.
Number one, it's a family affair, not just an owner's affair. Number two, it's a process. It's not only a transaction. Number three, it's an open agenda, not closed and secretive agenda. Number four, it's an asking format, not a telling one. Number five, it enhances the quality of family life through inclusion, not exclusion. And number six, it's a way to open family dialogue and communication, not closed discussion. And number seven, it recognizes that the greatest resource is people, not plant, equipment, and real estate. Number eight, it deals with both external and internal matters, not one at the expense of the other. And you mentioned this earlier, that, you know, everybody's looking for a return. There's nothing wrong with getting a return on your investment, but it's not just an external matter. It's also an internal matter. And when we talk about personal financial wealth, I think, and at least in my sense, it really has a lot more to do with what is family wealth as opposed to personal wealth. And I think if you identified as family wealth, then these issues of these poor statistics of family's wealth not getting done in a fair and in a caring way is not going to that's going to change, and that's what's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, it ensures an examination of all the issues, not just a whitewash. Say, well, we don't talk about things like that. And number 10, it seeks input from owner advisors, not excluding any who might differ.
Okay.
And number 11, it uses an objective specialist who is trained facilitator to conduct a family retreat, not a free-for-all anger tirade. And lastly, 12, it assures a money-back guarantee, if not totally satisfied, not a risky venture. So if people feel that family wealth and wealth is more than property, it has to do with relationships, then if it's going to be a family affair, then the family has to be engaged. And I know there are a lot of people out there that feel that this issue of secrecy has served them well, but when they're gone and dead, it just doesn't seem that it's statistically is serving the family very well.
Carl, where can we get a hold of your book, Planning a Family and Business Legacy?
You can go to our website, www.fbrsystem.com. That's F as in family, B as in business, R as in renewal, fbrsystem.com.
Okay. And what about a number, phone number that people might reach you at? Questions?
It's 805-595-2089 is my direct line.
Okay. And Carl is out in the West Coast for those that want to call. Your final tagline in the book, and I think it's terrific, and it closes it well at the book. It says, preserving the past, protecting the future, starting now.
Yeah, and I think that sort of hopefully says it all. And I'm always reminded of Carla, because the real gift that my daughter gave myself and my wife is an appreciation to remind all families that life is precious. It's a lot more precious than the property that we own. And so, therefore, I think it's really valuable to acknowledge that property and family go hand in hand, and wealth is perceived as something more than just the property. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you, Carl, and I just want to read one of the things in the book for as a closing. Carl writes, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share my work experience. I trust you will consider moving beyond the secretive, traditional, I call it one-dimensional planning, to a more open wealth transfer plan that concerns itself with both business profitability and quality of family life. Well said. Carl, thank you for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation, and I invite you to join us at the same time next week for more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Voice America Business thanks you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth, right here on Voice America Business, the bottom line in business talk.